You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It is election year in New Zealand, as we all know, and already we are seeing all the major media outlets pump out their political polls, whether it is online or during the 6 o'clock news. But why do we have political polls? Are they accurate? And what should you, the voter, be looking for when you are presented with different polls across multiple platforms? Well, earlier I spoke to political polling expert Murray Campbell from Baseline Consultancy, and I began by asking him what the primary purpose of political polls is.
I guess there's a number of reasons. Most political polls are paid for either by media companies or by political parties themselves. For a media company, I guess it's to lead a news item and to provide its viewers or readers a sense of where the political landscape is heading. So, to create interest and audience, and obviously for the political party itself, it's to figure out how close they are or who they have to form coalitions with.
And how are they designed exactly?
Well, that's a very big question. There's quite a lot of designs around the world. In New Zealand, it's still telephone-based, and that's principally landline telephone. But there's a lot of intricacies to how a poll is done. It's not just the sample size. It's how they draw the sample from across New Zealand. It's how many callbacks they make over how many days. It's how they calculate the impact of don't knows and not too sure if I'm going to vote and how certain the vote is. So there's quite a bit of an X factor and an art to the science of polling.
And do they differ across platforms in terms of their design? So, for example, television, newspapers, online?
Most polls in this country are still done by phone.
There's
a few done by online panels. None are done by face-to-face or door-to-door anymore. And I've been involved in both telephone and online. And telephone still seems to have a bit of an edge in this country. But in other parts of the world, it's a combination of online and telephone.
And what about the validity of polls? Can we trust the results given sample size, respondents versus non-respondents and all those sorts of factors?
I think the track record in New Zealand and to a certain extent Australia is still very good. If you look at the 2014 election results, they were very accurate. I think there's been a lot of media attention, particularly in the UK with Brexit and then the more recent polls. And in the States, obviously, there was a prediction that Clinton would win the presidential election. And she actually got more votes, more popular votes than Trump. And her share of vote was pretty much as predicted across the whole country. Where Trump won was in the Electoral College votes in some of the swing states. So I think that there's been a lot of uncertainty within media about the accuracy of the polls. But in my former job, when I worked right across many parts of the world on political polling, our friends in Germany, Spain, certainly France, South Korea, have extremely accurate polls.
So this far out from the election with the numbers that we're seeing right now, how accurate do you think they are in terms of what we might see come September?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's really in the hand of some of the leaders, particularly Bill English. He's obviously had a few speed wobbles of late, and what Andrew Little might be able to pull out of the bag. And let's not forget Winston Peters. He has a happy knack of grabbing 2 or 3 percentage points of votes in the last couple of weeks. So I think it's certainly anyone's race at this stage.
So a bit too early to say then?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. And it's not just the natural compression of polls as it gets closer to the polling day. It's just that there's quite a few X factors, particularly with Bill English, coming in as John Key's replacement. And my goodness me, there's so many expectations of how he may or may not perform.
Can you just explain this concept of the margin of error? Because a lot of people often find that quite confusing.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, it's really a mathematical calculation of how accurate is a sample compared to the population from which it's drawn. And we usually have a sample of about 1,000, and the maximum margin of error for a sample of 1,000 people is around about plus or minus 3.1, 3.2 percentage points. So what that means is this: we had a sample published from a poll today, and we said that we think that National on its own will get 50% of the vote. In practice, it might be as high as 53.1 or 53.2%, or as low as 46.8%. So that's the margin of error, the maximum margin of error. What happens is that as the percentage decreases, imagine this bell curve, if it was only 30% of the vote, then the margin of error would be lower than 3.2. It'd be around about, 2.1, 1.8. A really important point is you can never get a result in a poll less than its margin of error. So if for example, a minor party had a share of vote of like 3%, its margin of error would not be plus or minus 3.1. Its margin of error would be very low, be less than 1 point. So that's hopefully some description of it. But just remember, it's the maximum margin of error which occurs when the vote's a 50-50 split.
How influential do you think polls are in terms of influencing public opinion and perception of politicians?
Yes, I think there is a certain degree of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone's share of vote has gone down because of an event, it tends to exacerbate the problem or the misfortune they may have experienced. Conversely, if someone is growing, then the momentum can kick in as a kind of a sense within the media and its audience that this candidate is on a roll. But I suspect it affects more people within the political machinery than it does the voter.
Now, we have several political polls in operation, sort of Ray Morgan, Colmar Brunton, the Herald Digi poll. What advice would you give to the average person when they're presented with so many different poll results, results that are often quite different?
I think that, first of all, the polls are typically done at different times of a polling cycle. So really far out from a poll, from an election day, are the polls by the different media outlets done at the same time. And that's why there tends to be some fluctuation. But in the last week, the last 2 weeks coming up to election day, typically the results start to converge around, quite a small difference of like 2 or 3 percentage points. And typically those main ones you mentioned, I'm not too sure whether the Herald still runs DigiPoll anymore. But, the Colmars and the UMR Research, who occasionally publish their polls, they're the Labour Party polls. They're very accurate, as is Curious for National. So, historically, over the last 3 or 4 election cycles, they've come in quite close.
Just finally, are there any changes you would make to political polling to perhaps advance them even further?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think that the practice of polling is going to get more difficult in this country. And as far as there will be fewer people who have a landline at home who actually vote. Historically, it hasn't been a problem because we're only interested in the opinion of people who actually vote on the day. And through some sort of, quirk of nature, the people who vote on the day still tend to have a landline at home. But as that practice changes, as fewer people have landlines at home, then we're going to have a mixed methodology. And that's when it's going to get interesting and unfortunately expensive at a time when media don't have as much money to spend on polling as we'd like. So it's not going to get easier, in other words.
So is there a possibility that perhaps polling could become redundant?
I think that's a long way out. I think that people are so hooked on political polls to find out who might be in the lead, and certainly political parties themselves, it's like an absolute ingredient to their strategizing and their investment in messaging and so on. So I think political polls will be around for a long time yet, certainly in this country, and I'm not seeing it falling apart anywhere else in the world either.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.